Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Chapter 7, as you recall, begins by telling us several items, four to be exact, that if we will inculcate those into our lives, if we will embrace them, if we will develop them, it will add real value to our life here upon the earth. And then the fourth of those four items is wisdom. Godly wisdom, and if we'll add that to our life, it will certainly bring value, satisfaction, happiness, true zest for living. It will do all of those things to our lives here upon the earth, unlike many of the things that people try to acquire in order to make their life better. But in order to expand upon that idea of human wisdom, Solomon takes the last part of the chapter to explain that more fully. And he gives us four areas to apply wisdom to. And the first one is to religion. The second one is to human relationships. The third is human sexuality. And the fourth is to human nature. And it is that fourth one that we are dealing with now, which actually winds up the chapter in verses 27, 28, and 29. So we will wrap that one up, I think, on the broadcast today, and then perhaps give a brief summary of this entire section so that we can be prepared to move on into chapter 8. To that end, thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, November 18, and many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Wisdom concerning human nature. And Solomon tells us three things about improving our understanding. That's maybe another way of expressing the concept of wisdom. Understanding things as they truly are. Understanding things aright. Understanding things in relationship to God's wisdom. And the first thing he told us, and this is by way of review, is that understanding requires careful thought. We have to be able to reason, to analyze, to exercise our minds, to exert ourselves mentally if we're going to improve our understanding. That's verse 27. Here's what I found, says the preacher, adding one thing to another to find out the reason. That's that last phrase, adding one thing to another to find out the reason, is a way of describing the process of human reasoning, of thoughtful analysis, of the work of mental exertion. And so understanding requires careful thought. If you're not willing to think about things, if you're not willing to study, if you're not willing to employ logic and to test your logic, your deductions against other competing deductions, and then think those things through and make adjustments, all of that requires some work, mental work. I've talked to more than one Christian who has said, I put all that behind me when I finish school, and I'm done with that. I'm done with studying. I'm done with reading. I'm done with thinking. I'm done. You're not going to grow You're not going to mature. In fact, how do you expect to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if you're not willing to continue studying and thinking and analyzing and evaluating for the rest of your life? You don't ever get over that. So, number one, understanding requires careful thought. Number two, understanding requires honest evaluation. That's verse 28, and that one is really kind of strange in many ways, but I think that's the way to understand it. He said, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. And I explained on the broadcast yesterday that what Solomon is saying, in essence, is I find it very challenging to figure out other people. That is, to understand them and how they reason and why they reason. And I find a few men that I can understand, one out of a thousand is the way he describes it here, and no women. And we talked about that a bit on the broadcast yesterday, how that God made men and women different, and so it's not surprising that men will find it challenging to be able to figure out women in the way they reason, the way they think, and likewise, it goes the other way. Women will have a challenging time sometimes figuring out men and the way they think and reason. But the whole point of this is that if you're going to understand this dimension, we're talking about wisdom concerning human nature, and if you're going to understand this dimension, you have to be honest in your evaluation. You don't have to pretend that you've got everything figured out. You don't have to pretend that you understand people when you really don't. And there are a lot of people like that who think that in order to be perceived as knowledgeable, they have to portray this aura of perfect understanding, that they understand everything. And that's not the way Solomon approached it. He was honest in not only talking about the mental difficulty of coming to a greater understanding of the world in which we live and of the truth that guides and guards and undergirds the world in which we live, but he was honest in explaining the parts that he didn't understand, which, of course, involves a lot of things in this world, a lot of physical phenomena, but it also involves probably the most difficult area of all, which is to understand other people. And he was honest about that. But we move on to the last one, which is really the key to it all. And that is when Solomon tells us that understanding, listen to me now, understanding must align with divine revelation. You see, it's well and good to analyze things and to think logically and put thoughts together and come to some conclusions, but if your conclusions don't align with divine revelation, then you're going to have to discard them and start over. I've had to do that all my life, and I continue to do that. There are some areas of biblical truth that I came to realize I had entirely wrong. I had it upside down. I had misunderstood certain things. That's not easy to admit. We like to have this idea, and again, I've known some people like this. I've known some preachers like this who basically took the position, look, I studied all this in school, and when I finished school, I had all my doctrine, all my theology worked out, and that's it, and I'm not going to revisit anything. It's all locked in now and for the rest of my life. And I've heard preachers that were very proud of the fact that I haven't changed one thing that I have believed or taught in all of my, fill in the blank, 30 years of preaching. Well, I guess that's admirable if it's really if it's because their knowledge was so complete at such a young age when they first started out, but I am very skeptical about that, and I can tell you that my experience has been exactly the opposite, that a lot of things that I thought I understood when I left school, I learned pretty quickly how much I didn't understand, and an awful lot of what I took into my early ministry ended up changing as I moved along because I was continually studying the Bible and comparing what I had been taught, comparing what I believed, comparing what I assumed to be correct with the Word of God, and was continually having to revisit various conclusions. It's not that truth changes, it does not, but my understanding of it changes, and yours should too, and if it doesn't, then you are stuck. Probably most of you aren't even old enough to remember back in the days when we had record players, vinyl records that you put on a record player, and the vinyl disc goes round and round, and there was an arm with a little needle on it. And sometimes, you may recall, if you're old enough to remember those days, sometimes the needle would get stuck in a groove and keep playing the same thing over and over and over again until somebody went over and moved the needle, or sometimes all you had to do was just bump it, bump the table, and it would jump on into the next groove and keep on moving. But, oh, that is irritating when the needle gets stuck in a groove and won't get off that groove. And that's not good, that's bad. And when people get stuck in a groove of assumed understanding and are not able or willing to move on, that's not good, that's bad. And our understanding must align with divine revelation, and we must be continually evaluating and reevaluating what we believe against the Word of God and against what should be a lifelong increase in our understanding of God's Word, a growing understanding of Scripture. And so that's verse 29, when Solomon said, "Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes." And there's one firm conclusion that Solomon is sure about, namely, that mankind was made upright by his Creator, but, as we know, has willfully rebelled against our Creator. And the conclusion, therefore, is that depravity, not goodness, is the accurate description of human nature, and our failure to understand or accept that reality produces an inability to understand what's wrong with the world. There are things wrong with this world. What's wrong with it? Why can't we get this fixed? Why can't we get that fixed? Why can't we get the whole list of grievances that people have that they determine that they're going to fix? And here's the problem. God made man upright, that is in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, but they, that is men and women, have sought out many schemes. Men and women have gone their wayward direction, contrary to what God created them in the beginning. And because that is true, we're going to have to let our minds be renewed by the Word of God. Our understanding must always align and be realigned with divine revelation. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.